since Karen and I have been here. We're also part of the group that originally sent Aaron and Tracy and Johan and Sean out into the mission field in Chiang Mai in Thailand. Nice to have Aaron's parents here, Morris and Ruth. God bless you. Welcome. So we're going to get in the over the next 25 minutes or so, we're just going to get to know these guys just a little bit better. Just a little bit of background to start with, though, and I've already indicated this. 4 years ago now, do you guys know you've been on the mission field for 4 years? You may not have realised that. Time's gone fast. So we commissioned Aaron and Tracy, Johan and Sean, because it's good to include the children, not just the parents, because the children are a vital part of that work as well. So we commissioned Aaron and Tracy, Johan and Sean of April 2014 to serve as hostel parents in Chiang Mai in Thailand. They've been there for 4 years now. When Karen and I came over to Fairfield Baptist from the Vine, one of the things that we asked of you was whether you would be keen to adopt these guys as your sent missionaries. So we sent them out from the Vine. So virtue of Karen and I coming over and our special request, Aaron and Tracy, as it turns out, are the only sent missionaries from this church. You may not be aware of that, but I think that's just a great thing. So that makes our partnership as a church very special with the Charmans. WEC World Evangelization for Christ. In fact, WEC celebrated 100 years of mission in the world in 2013. And today WEC, maybe you guys didn't even realize this either, WEC has around 2,000 workers in 70 countries working and serving faithfully in the world. Did you know that, Morris and Ruth, about 2,000 people? C.T. Studd, is that a name that some of you are familiar with? C.T. Studd, a name that some of you will be familiar with, in fact, founded WEC in 1913. So that's obviously well over a century ago. And I guess for this man, like many other men and women who have catalyzed mission in the world, they had their doubters, they had their naysayers. But C.T. Studd's got this famous saying, and let me read it to you. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. You like that? If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. And I'm sure that's something of the heart that Aaron and Tracy had as you guys sensed that call of God on your own lives to uproot your family and take yourselves off to Chiang Mai in Thailand 4 years ago. So you are both two of that 2,000 workers serving faithfully over there in Chiang Mai. And we're going to get to learning a bit more about yourselves and your family and your work shortly. But firstly, I'm really curious, and I think some of these people here will be too, what's your response to this motto of C.T. Studd's? If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. What's your response to that?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a scary truth to it, I think. It's not about what I can do for him necessarily. It's not what I have to prove something to him. It's not, oh, he's done so much, so therefore I have to work to get his favor. It's not that at all. But at the end of the day, when you grasp who he is and what he did for me and everybody else, I guess, anything I can do to serve him is pretty minuscule in the end of the day, but it is also in servitude to him. And so I think that's exactly C.T. Studd's point.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Tracy, have you got a response to that too?
Yep, we were really little. When we first went to Thailand, it was a big sacrifice, especially for me. I have grown up in Gordington, so I probably know some of you. And going over there was a huge thing for me. And at that point, we literally had Sean, and then we left 9 weeks after she was born. So we were taking a really young baby to a place that I'd never been before. So that was a big sacrifice. But knowing that God had called us there and God had sent us there, that was ultimately why we went. That's us, actually. When we first arrived in Thailand, Karen took that picture. And so yeah, we it was a lot of sacrifice, but it's worth it because God's worth it, and allowing these kids to get schooling so their parents can continue working, then that's worth it. Yeah.
I think if what you said before, if we're here to love him, then, you know, anything I can do to show him that is worth it.
Very good. Very good. So young people these days with their phones. We're at the front of church and they can't even... No, there's actually a very good reason for this. Their notes are on their phones. They're not looking at Facebook or looking up the internet, so you don't need to worry.
Saving paper.
Saving paper. So it's not the normal kind of everyday occurrence that a young family would just pack up their bags and jump on a plane and head out to Southeast Asia. Tracy, could we ask that you describe what it was like preparing, uprooting, and then relocating your family off to Thailand 4 years ago? What was going on in your mind, in your heart? It's not normal.
It's not normal, but when God says do something, you have to listen, or else you're not doing what he says to do. So when I first arrived in Thailand, the first day, I was surrounded by men because all the women, for some reason, had gone home for furlough and I had a young baby, and they were like, let's go to the mall, we're going to have some dinner. And I sat in the mall and I cried my eyes out and I went, God, I don't like this place. What have you brought me here for? This is not what I had signed up for. And over 4 years, that has changed, obviously, and now I love Thailand. But that initial first day, that was really hard. And the kids saying, when do we get to go home? Because, you know, Yoan was four and he didn't recognise Thailand. They're all speaking a different language. Yeah, he actually said a very cute quote to me when he was little. He said, Mum, when do we go to heaven? And I was like, what do you mean, when do we go to heaven, when we die? And he goes, no, like New Zealand. So he was obviously missing home. But for him, starting at Grace International School when he was five, that really changed things for him. The school serves a lot of missionary kids there, and he connected with other people that were similar to him. So he was able to get friends, and then now he would say, what's home, New Zealand or Thailand? He would probably say Thailand. There was a time where he went, I don't know, I'm confused. So tell us
a little bit briefly about your family. Yoan and Shan, I've already mentioned their names. How they're doing in schooling for them?
Yeah, Yoan and Shan. Yoan is eight, and though you wouldn't know, he's really tall. And Shan is 4 years old. Yoan's at Grace International School there. And Shan, at the moment, she's at home with us. Schooling is quite expensive in Thailand, so kindergarten's the same cost as school. It's about $5,000 a year. So for us, it just didn't work to have her in kindy. She would love to go, but at the moment, we just can't. So she's at home with us a lot of the time, but she's really looking forward to going to school. Shan doesn't really have anyone her age, actually, at the moment that's around, which is a little bit hard for her, but she gets on really well with the teenagers and with the meerbarn, the house helpers. They are like her grandparents, so... yeah, it's a little bit hard for her, but it's okay. Once she gets into school, I think that will be one more year and she'll be off to school. So then, that will be.
Okay, that's good, Tracy. Aaron, God's call, and I think we'd all testify to this, God's call can be like a very mysterious thing. So how did you, have you, and even would you discern the call of God to this work? In fact, why this? Why going to Chiang Mai in Thailand and not something else? Because there's a whole bunch of things that you could do with your time and your giftings and your strengths. So why this?
Yeah, probably to go back to the start of what you said there in terms of how did I discern or how did we discern the call. I think the way we use jargon in Christian circles is quite interesting to me sometimes. Call implies quite often, and can be quite confusing, it implies that God does all the work, that he is the one going to throw up flashing signs and everything else. And to be honest, that is what I was looking for early on. When I was about 18, I was at East West College studying, and I was expecting him to tell me very clearly and be very flashy signal sign with me about what I was doing at Bible College and what I was there for.
and it never came, really. It wasn't until we sort of had a bit of a crisis that I started asking him and praying really, really earnestly and strongly, which you've alluded to a number of times in this service already, and that was exactly it, earnestly seeking him to discover what his plan for me was. And he made it very clear through some verses that I was to marry Tracy, that we were going to have children, and that we were meant for the mission field, basically. And so I got three very solid answers from him to tell me what we were to do as a couple. And so that's where it started. And then, again, you get into marriage, you sort of just get occupied with work and a few other things, and you kind of move on a bit. And then we started to get uncomfortable in our jobs. Tracy was an early childhood teacher, I was a youth worker, and we just felt uneasy, and we came back to some verses that he'd given us, and we went, well, why are we still waiting around for flashing signals if he's made it pretty clear that we're supposed to be doing missions? We always knew that we weren't going to be church planters or evangelists. That's just not who we are. And so we knew just from natural giftings and past experiences and a heart desire to work with children and youth that we were going to do youth ministry of some sort. And then again, we looked around and we were trying to discover what to do. And I did a very spiritual Google search because I told myself I wasn't going to join WEC because my parents are in WEC, my grandparents are in WEC, or were in WEC, my auntie was in WEC, uncles were in WEC. I knew too many people, so I didn't want to join WEC. But an opportunity to be hostel parents in Thailand showed up in a Google search because I hadn't heard about that at all since being here. And that was what drew my eye straight away. And it was just a matter of knocking on some doors, pushing them open, and God opening them really wide. It was really interesting how miraculous some of those things were. I could get into details, but that's going to take ages.
Good, Aaron. Thank you. So, yeah. Tracy, It just may be that God is stirring the hearts of some people in our congregation today. What would you say to the person who's here today who might be wrestling with something of a call to mission abroad? What would your message be to them?
Listen to God. listen to him. And I suppose the bigger question is, are you at the moment where God wants you to be? Because I think you can go abroad, yes, but maybe God's also asking to use you in a scenario at your work or a scenario with somebody down the road. And I think sometimes we can think, we need missionaries to go overseas, but sometimes I think we think that's the end goal. It starts with actually, hey, how can I serve in the church? Hey, how can I be a part of a community where I can reach out to other people? So the big question really is, are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you using the resources you have at the moment to extend God's kingdom? That's really,
yeah, really good.
What it comes from.
It's a good message, eh? It's excellent, Tracy. So moving on to a different question, Aaron, what's your assessment of the support, just generally speaking, that you've received across the 4 years from both here in New Zealand and on the ground in Chiang Mai?
Well, our support from a New Zealand standpoint has been fantastic. It's a unique thing, actually. We've got a lot of friends who are missionaries, obviously, in Thailand and friends who are missionaries elsewhere around the world as well. And we've had Ross and Karen visit us twice in 4 years. I can tell you, every other missionary I've met in Thailand, that has never happened. Nobody has a pastor in particular who comes to see them. And they were all really envious and a bit jealous of us because that's something they're all actually really wanting. They get visits from friends and family and maybe a church representative, but it's very rare and odd actually to them for a pastor to come and see us. So we were really blessed and grateful for that. So from a home standpoint, we've had really good support. Not just financially, but we've had really just Ross will Skype me basically every 2 weeks, Skype, and we'll talk and we'll give updates and we'll just pray together. That's really valuable. So I still get that pastoral care from here. We have a new church in Thailand that is also really good. Ross met our pastor in Thailand, and they, they've got a really heart, a good heart for youth and missions as well. And so that's in the last 2 years we've been at that church. In the first couple of years, support on the ground varied. So when we first arrived in the first year, we had pretty good support on the ground. Then our team leaders got reassigned to be the superintendent of the school. And so that called him away to be in that role, which was exactly where he needed to be, but that kind of left us out on a limb. So from about after the first year till
recently,
6 months ago, we've kind of been on our own. We still had meetings, but those meetings became more and more less frequent and intense in some ways. And a lot of the times of crisis and things, it was really just Tracy and I. In terms of what we do on a day-to-day basis, it really is just us. So we run a house for 12 students, 13 to 18, so there's 16 of us total. Here we are.
One student.
And all the ins and outs of that, shopping, feeding them, you know, looking after the big house and everything else, it's us. We have two house helpers, Thai Mebans, who are effectively housemaids. They work for us Monday to Friday. But everything else in terms of taking them to school, grocery shopping, everything is us. And so we've been doing that for 4 years.
Okay. Tracy, what would you say are the main challenges for you as a couple, for you as a family that you face in terms of your spirituality, of parenting, your own marriage, even depending on how vulnerable you want to be, serving in the context and the environment that you're in?
One thing I think I didn't realize going over there was Thailand. Okay, the saying in Thailand is to be Thai is to be Buddhist. So if you are Thai, you are Buddhist. So that is the majority of people are Buddhists. So every single house on your street, if they're not a Christian house, they will have a spirit house in the corner of their property, and they will give sacrifices to the spirit house. They will, you know, do all sorts for the spirit's house. We have a temple just up the hill from our house, really close. There's 700 temples in Thailand, in Chiang Mai, sorry, just in Chiang Mai. It's kind of like the spiritual hub of Thailand. So I think going in, I didn't realize that. It was going to be so, like coming to New Zealand, you come and you arrive and there's kind of like this lighter presence. There it's, you know, it's harder. Little things are harder. And you can't initially pinpoint them. When we first arrived, I really struggled. I'm an early childhood teacher, but I struggled with our kids and having confidence with our kids. And then we got told, well, that's actually a very familiar thing, the thing that happens a lot in Thailand with mums and kids. So then we could pray against that and kind of, we know God's bigger. So, and we're also trying to direct 12 teenagers who are on their own journeys spiritually. Sometimes they think they can take on the world and you have to kind of help them out. And sometimes they just, don't even think. But I think in relation to Aaron and I, our marriage, our parenting, I think what I would get you to think about is you live in a house with 16 of you and you've always got people watching you. So if you have an argument in your marriage, there's 12 eyes watching you. So I think for us, if Yoan and Sean are playing up and we're having to discipline, there's 12 eyes watching us. And so I think that's probably one of the hard things for us is that we can't just be a family. And because we're in Thai culture and a lot of the students we have are Asian culture, it's the whole shame, honor thing. So you wouldn't do that in front of everybody. So you kind of have to hold your tongue and then, wait for a moment that you never get. So I think that's probably the biggest thing is, with parenting and our own marriage is finding the time to actually spend time together talking or just sorting through some of those things and having time to enjoy ourselves this year we organized a night off once a week, but until this year we hadn't. And so this year now we have date night. 1 week is date night, 1 week is with our own kids. So that's been helpful. But once again, you have to leave the house. You have to have money to go out and have a dinner or go somewhere. So, yeah, I don't know if that answers.
That's really good. So with some of those, and I appreciate you just summarizing it here today because we obviously know there's a lot more to it than that. But within all of that, how important is it to you to know that people are praying for you?
I think, you know what, the great thing is you can pray anywhere in the world and somebody feels it. There's definitely been times. We had an incident at the start of this year, and sometimes Aaron and I, a student will come to us, they'll say something or they're struggling with something, and we have time to really pray about it and seek God and how can we help the student. And sometimes a crisis happens and you're just dealing with the moment. And in those times, we really need people to lift us up in prayer. You know, we buried a girl at the start of this year, and the prayer, we knew people were praying back home. We knew people were praying for us around the world, really, because we could sense this peace and know that it wasn't Aaron and I. It wasn't Aaron and I talking. Sometimes we'd say things and, oh, where did that come from? That wasn't me, you know. So I think knowing that you guys are praying for us, knowing that people back here are aware of what's going on, if there's a crisis, really digging into prayer on our behalf, because sometimes we're just too busy to even stop. You know, with in our minds we're going, God, help us, but we're not able to specifically pray into situations when the moment's happening. So that's really valuable.
That's good, Tracy. Aaron, name two or three really significant challenges that you've faced. And again, I know there's a lot more to it than
I'm going to have to generalize them a bit.
Yeah,
but
in the last 4 years.
Tracy's alluded to some already. I mean, just moving countries and being away from friends and family and home church does just present its challenge. I mean, when people celebrate things at home, you're not there. When there's Christmas, you're not there. When there's a crisis at home, you're not there either. So that just distance just is an ongoing, constant thing. Both the joy and the challenge of our ministry is living and working with 12 teenagers every year. I love teenagers, I really do. People find that odd a lot of the time. Whenever I tell people I work with teenagers and I live with 12 of them, 13 to 18, I get a raised eyebrow a lot, and people go, oh, you're really brave. And I sort of find that, well, I guess so, but they're just people. And I love them. But yes, they do present their own challenges. Everything you could probably think of that teenagers, if you've got kids that are teenagers or are now adults, you probably went through some stuff with teens that we've gone through. So I can summarize them, I guess. Depression, self-harm, drug and alcohol use. These are all Christian kids, by the way, but they go through it just like everybody. Pornography, past abuse, list could go on.
Sure.
And we've had specific things that we've had to open up as a child protection investigation. That takes a lot of time and energy to do that right and to give grace where it's needed. And we've had one this year that was a very serious incident with one of our students that ended up taking her and her family off the field and going back home, and being the one to have to sit down with parents and explain what it is that you're dealing with and what they're going to have to face as a family now, those are really tough. That's a lot of emotion attached to those things. That's probably the biggest one.
And amongst all of that, you're still running a house for 16 people. So life doesn't stop just because there's someone that you're dealing with that's, you know, smoking or something like that. You're still trying to deal with those things and make sure that dinner's on the table and make sure that those people have the right things and for school the next day.
It's the same if we're sick. So if one of us is sick or, you know, two of us are sick at the same time, which has happened. Like I got pneumonia last year. She got bronchitis. And there were some people that came in to give some relief, but we're still in the house living and working and having to do school runs. So it's just,
okay. Okay, this is awesome, guys. Thank you. Just a couple more questions and then we're just about done. So firstly, what answers to prayer have you celebrated in the last 4 years? I guess alongside that is, how have you seen God at work as part of your work over there? How have you seen God at work in your mission and ministry over there in the lives of the young people in your own family?
Yeah, our teens come in kind of, some of them come in younger, some of them come in older, but we kind of see them grow and develop. And I think some of the biggest God moments for me is watching the teens grow and develop. There's been times we had a teenage boy in our first year and he was a real handful for the dorm parents before us, and he was a real, just a kind of grumpy kid. And right at the start, he kind of got annoyed at me because he was going to a senior retreat, which he didn't want to go to, and he kind of swore at me. And Aaron went and talked to him and told him off, you know, like, you don't swear at Tracy and that's not okay. And he was fuming, and then God kind of said to Aaron, stop him, don't let him go angry, stop him and give him a bottle of Sprite. Why would we give him a bottle of Sprite? We've just told the kid off. So Aaron, anyway, he goes, okay. So he stops the kid and he kind of says, have this bottle of Sprite, have a cold drink, calm down and go and enjoy your time and we'll be praying for you. And this kid is, he was just a real handful before. In that 1 year of us being dorm parents with him, we poured into him as much love as we could, and after that weekend, he came back and gave Aaron a huge hug and said, thank you for humbling me. And then he went around every student in the dorm that he had wronged, every girl he had called a name, every person he had been mean to, and apologized. And I had the girls coming to me going, what's wrong with him? He's coming and saying sorry to me. I'm like, yeah, well, he's changing. And he's, you know, but that was just a God moment. That wasn't us. That was God saying to Aaron, give the guy a Sprite and tell him to calm down, which is kind of odd anyway, and him using that. So that's kind of been like one of our, you know, teens that we've really seen a change. The other thing is, obviously, we raise our own support and sometimes finances. We've got Yeowen's school fees that are due yearly, and it's $5,000, $4,500, something like that.
Exchange rate now, five grand.
And we've been, okay, God, we've got one more week and we don't have the money in the bank, but that school fees need to be paid next week. And then just an email will come. We just put a lump sum of money through to your account and we just go, okay, God, thank you. Thank you very much. Like, we just know. And every time Aaron and I get frustrated and we're like, okay, God, if we're going to stay here, you're going to have to keep, you know, you're going to have to show us something. He'll be like, can you stop stressing? And he'll do something to make it really clear that that's where we're supposed to be. Recently, we were really tired just before we came back home, and we said, we don't have the finances for next year. There's no way we're going to be able to do next year. And then our team leader came to us and, hey, I've just become a board member of the school, and with the board member I get free tuition for school. But I don't have any kids going to Grace, so would like to give it to Yeowen. So we're, okay, God, we'll come back for another couple of years, you know. So every time we're ready to give up, he encourages us with something. So that's been really good, and we really thank God and praise him for, you know, just being a part of all those little moments.
Great testimony, Tracy. And so lastly, and it does link with what you were just saying there, in order to continue to do your work well and to be effective over there in Chiang Mai, what do you believe that you need? to continue to do your work well and effectively?
Ongoing support in a general sense. Mm. And that, it's not just financial. I mean, finance is needed, obviously. I mean, it's just the world we live in. There's not a lot you can do without money. But aside from that, just friendship and prayer support is really valuable to us. Again, like I've already said at the beginning, Ross and Karen's visits that they've been able to come and give, the fortnightly catch-ups that we have with him, those are really valuable. So those ongoing would be fantastic. And there's some things that have changed for us that are going to keep us on the field. So we've separated from the Thai branch of WEC, and we've become an area ministry because we serve not just Thailand. Most of the kids that we get in aren't from the Thai WEC branch. They come from all across Asia. So we've become an area ministry. Through that, we've been assigned a governance board over us, which will help us not be alone. So whenever we do application process for teens coming in now, we have a board that we take those to and we'll discuss them together. Any crisis, that board of trustees is made up of a child protection consultant, a finance consultant, and a member care consultant, and then us and our team leaders and our area director. So going from a team of two to effectively a team of seven-ish is amazing. That's a real answer to prayer. So that will keep us, hopefully. And then...
But part of the prayer for that is we've got... There's a ton of policies that need...
Revamping
in the dorm. And they need to set a really good system in place to keep dorm parents there. So
to be sustainable and on
prayer, specific prayer for that we're able to do those things and, set up the dorm really well.
So that
it's, in the future it's got all the policies that it's needed to keep running.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and then I mean, finances are the other one.
We do want to put Sian into kindy this year, but so that would be the other thing. Yowen's school fees are paid for, so some of the money that we might have got that went to Yowen's school fees, we can put towards possibly Sian doing something this year. But that's only for 1 year. Those school fees are only paid for 1 year. So next school year we'll need 10 grand for school fees.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
Hey, thanks so much, Aaron and Tracy. And look, you'll get an opportunity over lunch. And Aaron and Tracy are here for about another 6 weeks. You're in Dunedin shortly for a couple of weeks, then back just 1 week, and then back locally in this area. Yep. Contact these guys and take them out for a coffee and get to hear a little bit more about their story, about the challenges that they're facing. Partner in some way with them if you can. You've heard just a snippet of what I think is just a great God story. And take every opportunity to learn a little bit more about that. Let's just pray together. Father, I want to thank you for this couple. I want to thank you for this family. I want to thank you, Lord, that your hand upon them and your faithfulness to them and in their circumstances in Chiang Mai, Lord, is apparent. Lord, it's obvious. So right at the outset, Lord, as we pray for this family, Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for all that you are. Thank you that you're sovereign over their lives and over their work there in Chiang Mai. Lord, and the challenges that they've outlined here today and that they have faced and will no doubt face into the future, God, would you be over those? Would you be working in those circumstances? Would you give to Aaron and Tracy all of the necessary wisdom and ability and strength and discernment that they need to face into those situations? Lord, we commend that to you. Lord, and from a support perspective, Lord, and Aaron's right, it's not just financial, it's friendship, it's prayer support. Support and however it is that they need that support, God, would you raise up individuals and families, Lord, to surround the Charmans, just to love on them, just to send an email to say, well done, keep up that great work that you're doing there. Lord, I know how much that would mean to them. And where there are gaps financially, Lord, we believe you to be the great provider. Lord, would you raise not just enough finance, Lord, but more than they need for what they require over there in Chiang Mai. Father, I thank you for this family. We also pray for them good health and well-being as they continue their work there when they head back in a month's or so time. Father God, may your blessing be upon them. Father, we encourage them today. In many ways, Lord, we reaffirm, Lord, your sense of call on their lives, Lord, despite the difficulties. And we thank you, Lord, that you're never aloof. Lord, that you never leave nor forsake, that you are so present there with them in that work there, despite the spiritual oppression that they face. And so we thank you, Father God, again for them. Thank you for your faithfulness to them and to that ministry there. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Can we thank them again?